Al-Bayan Radio presents Prophetic Pearls, a brief explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi presented by Nidal Ayyubi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Nabiyyina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa salam. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters, and welcome back to our series Prophetic Pearls, a brief explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi Rahimuhullah. Today we have reached Hadith 38, whoever shows enmity to a wali of mine.
Al-Hadith 38. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله تعالى قال من عادى لي وليا فقد آذنته بالحرب وما تقرب إلي عبدي بشيء أحب إلي مما افترضته عليه ولا يزال عبدي يتقرب إلي بالنوافل حتى أحبه فإذا أحببته كنت سمعه الذي يسمع به وبصره الذي يبصر به ويده التي يبطش بها ورجله التي يمشي بها ولئن سألني لأعطينه ولئن استعاذني لأعيذنه رواه البخاري.
On the authority of Abu Huraira radiyallahu an, who said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah the Almighty has said, whoever has mutual animosity with a friend or wali of mine, or whoever shows enmity to a wali of mine, I will declare war upon him. My servant does not draw near to me with anything more beloved to me than the religious duties that I have imposed upon him, and my servant continue to draw near to me with the voluntary works, such that I love him. And when I love him, I am his hearing with which he hears, his seeing with which he sees, his hand with which he strikes, and his leg with which he walks. Were he to ask of me, I would surely give him, and were he to ask me for refuge, I would surely grant it to him. Recorded by Al-Bukhari. My dear brothers and sisters, this is one of the great hadith, and the importance of this hadith lies in its describing how one can become one of Allah's awliya, or one of his devoted servants and beloved. It describes the steps that need to be taken or followed, and also describes the magnificent results that the one who follows these steps will achieve. Many, many important points can be derived from this hadith, and this hadith has great benefits. My dear brothers and sisters, Imam al-Shawqani rahimahullah, he explained this hadith in 300 pages, showing its importance and benefits. The first part of the hadith,
إن الله تعالى قال من عادى لي وليا فقد آذنته بالحرب.
Allah the Almighty has said, whoever has mutual animosity or enmity with a wali of mine, I will declare war upon him. My dear brothers and sisters, in the first part of the hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that anyone who takes any of his beloved for an enemy, that he would declare war upon them. Now the wali of Allah is the pious believer, as stated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Yunus, ayah 62. No doubt, verily the awliya of Allah, no fear shall come upon them, nor shall they grieve. Then he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the following ayah, explained who they are by saying,
الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ.
Those who believe and used to fear Allah much. So the awliya of Allah, my dear brothers and sisters, are the pious believers. Every pious believer is a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's wilaya is his love and support for his slave. And to be with him, supporting him, aiding him, guiding him, and loving him. So al-wilaya means love, aid, and support. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 257,
Allah waliyul ladhina amanu yukhrij
Allah is the Wali, the protector or guardian of those who believe. He brings them out of darkness into light. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, ayah 55. Verily your wali, your protector or helper, is Allah, his messenger, and the believers. Now some claim to be awliya, well, they are not pious believers. Some of them are magicians, fortune tellers, and even disbelievers. Likewise, those who say they have miracles and supernatural things, while they do not even pray, nor do they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, claiming not to be under legal responsibility because they are awliya of Allah and because they have connected with Allah and are not in need of actions. And sadly, some people regard them as awliya of Allah, while actually, my dear brothers and sisters, they are awliya of the devil. So an enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be from his awliya. My dear brothers and sisters, these are some of the rules we have to keep in mind regarding someone being a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These rules and conditions are that this person must believe in Allah. He must fear Allah, and he's not pleased that others besides Allah should be worshipped. Rather, this wali of Allah, he invites to tawheed, he invites to the worship of Allah alone. As for the one who commands people to worship him, venerate him and exalt him, then such people, my dear brothers and sisters, are the walis of the devil. They are the supporters, guardians, and friends and associates of the shayateen, the devils. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 257, but as for those who disbelieve, their awliya, their supporters and helpers are taghut, the false deities and false leaders. They bring them out of light into darkness. Those are the dwellers of the fire, and they will abide therein forever. So my dear brothers and sisters, there are those who are awliya of Allah, and there are those who are awliya of shaitan. So we have to keep this in mind, because not everyone who people call, or he calls himself a wali, is a wali of Allah, even if it's on their grave. He may be among the enemies of Allah. So my dear brothers and sisters, after discussing who are the awliya of Allah, Allah tells us in this hadith that whoever takes any of my awliya for an enemy, that is, whoever harms those awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through words or actions, through any evil, Allah will avenge for his wali. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear brothers and sisters, will defend, will protect and support his awliya. As the hadith mentions, will declare war upon those who harm his awliya, because they have opposed the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because these awliya of Allah are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us in Surah Al-Hajj, ayah 38, that he will defend the believers.
Inna Allah yudafi'u 'anil-ladhina amanu.
Verily Allah defends those who believe. So Allah will defend his awliya subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, my dear brothers and sisters, the true Muslim must have love for Allah's awliya, and he must support them and aid them in any way that he can. Because those who go to war with the awliya of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with them in this world and the next. And anyone who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares war upon, my dear brothers and sisters, he'll be ruined. He'll be in a state of destruction. Anyone who opposes the true believers while giving love or wala and loyalty to the unbelievers and to the hypocrites as opposed to the believers, he will be destroyed, he will be ruined in this world and the next. We seek Allah's protection. Moving on to the next part of the hadith.
وما تقرب إلي عبدي بشيء أحب إلي مما افترضته عليه.
My servant does not draw near to me with anything more loved by me than the religious duties I have imposed upon him. My dear brothers and sisters, after mentioning that no one should oppose the devoted servants and awliya of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives a description of those devoted servants or awliya, teaching us that the real devoted servants or awliya of Allah are those who work to get closer to Allah by performing the deeds that take them closer to Him. And the true enemies of Allah are those who go farther away from Allah by performing those deeds that take them farther away from Him. And it is clear from this hadith, my dear brothers and sisters, that those who claim to love Allah and claim to get closer to Allah, but at the same time do not follow the commands of Allah as stated by His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are actually lying, either to themselves out of ignorance or knowingly to everyone. And this was the case with the mushrikeen, the pagans, the idol worshippers, who claimed to be getting closer to Allah by worshipping the intercessors that they invented. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in Surah Az-Zumar, ayah number 3,
وَالَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَا إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى إِنَّ اللَّهَ
Surely the pure religion is for Allah alone. And those who choose protecting friends beside Him say, we worship them only that they may bring us nearer unto Allah. Verily Allah will judge between them concerning that wherein they differ. Verily Allah guides not him who is a liar and ungrateful. So my dear brothers and sisters, we have to start off with the obligatory deeds that Allah has obligated upon us. First and foremost, these include the obligatory deeds of the heart, having a pure intention, being honest and sincere, having patience, being repentant, being free of envy and hatred toward the believers, being free of pride and arrogance, being free of superstitions and so on and so forth. My dear brothers and sisters, we must start off first and foremost with Tawheed and then the rest of the five pillars of Islam, starting with the prayer, Zakat, Hajj, and fasting the month of Ramadan. These are the pillars of Islam. We must perfect them and do our best concerning these actions because they are the pillars of Islam. This is where we start. This is what we build from, especially the prayer, my dear brothers and sisters, as the prayer is a daily practice which has an amazing effect on the life of a believer. So my dear brothers and sisters, the dearest actions to Allah are the obligatory actions. So we must take care of them in the best possible manner according to the Quran and Sunnah. Moving on to the next part of the hadith.
وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ.
My servant continues to draw near to me with the voluntary deeds until I love him. My dear brothers and sisters, this shows us the importance of performing the voluntary and optional duties. And the word used here is nawafil, and this is the plural of nafila. And it means in Arabic addition, that is addition to the obligatory duties. So my dear brothers and sisters, the true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only get near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the obligatory. And you continue to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the voluntary actions until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love him. And this part of the hadith confirms the attribute of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that He loves His righteous servants and He loves righteous deeds. It also shows us, my dear brothers and sisters, that righteous deeds bring about the love of Allah for the servant. So if we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to love us, we have to perform righteous deeds. And if we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to love us, we have to follow the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, Ayah 31, say, O Muhammad, to mankind, if you really love Allah, then follow me. Allah will love you and forgive you of your sins. So, my dear brothers and sisters, we start off with the obligatory and then the voluntary, so we may achieve this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you, then the results are great, which I mentioned in the next part of the hadith, which now we will take bi'idhnillahi ta'ala.
فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ كنت سمعه الذي يسمع به وبصره الذي يبصر به ويده التي يبطش بها ورجله التي يمشي بها.
When I love him, I am his hearing with which he hears, his seeing with which he sees, his hand with which he strikes, and his foot with which he walks. This means, my dear brothers and sisters, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will aid him in these affairs. The servant of Allah will only look at that which pleases Allah. He will only listen to that which pleases Allah. He will lower his gaze from what angers Allah and will not listen to that which Allah has forbidden. He will only use these senses and these faculties in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, my dear brothers and sisters, his hands will only be used for that which is pleasing to Allah. His feet will only take him towards that which is pleasing to Allah, meaning he will walk, he will go towards that which pleases Allah, such as going to the masajid, connecting the ties of kingship, and all other acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he'll keep far away from going to places of corruption, to places of haram. So my dear brothers and sisters, when a person does this, he is moved closer to Allah, as he has performed the obligatory and then followed it up with the optional. Ibn Rajab rahimahullah, explaining this part of the hadith, says, whenever anyone strives to get closer to Allah by performing the obligatory deeds and then the voluntary deeds, he will come closer to him, meaning to Allah, and it will raise him from the degree of faith to the degree of ihsan, and he will begin to worship Allah with an aura of his presence and watching as if he is seeing him, and his heart is filled with the recognition of Allah, his love, fear of him, reverence of him, and his greatness. He will become delighted by his presence and crave turning to him until his heart is so filled with the clear recognition of him that it will be as if he is seeing with his eyes. So my dear brothers and sisters, when the heart is filled with the greatness of Allah, there is no room in the heart for anything else. The slave, the servant, gets to a point where he abandons his own desires and cravings and only desires those things that Allah is pleased with. At that time, when he looks for the sake of Allah. When he speaks for the sake of Allah. When he listens for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And moving on to the final part of the hadith.
وَلَئِن سَأَلَنِي لَأُعْطِيَنَّهُ وَلَئِن اسْتَعَاذَنِي لَأُعِيذَنَّهُ.
Were he to ask something of me, I would surely give it to him. And were he to ask me for refuge, I would surely grant him it. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to give the slave whatever he desires without the need for the slave to even ask him for it. But by being asked and granting, Allah becomes even more beloved to the slave. And this moves the slave that much closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear brothers and sisters, this hadith proves that the person who performs the obligatory and voluntary deeds and remains away from the forbidden and disliked deeds will be honored with a special place with respect to Allah. Allah's love will cover him so much that if he asks anything, Allah will surely grant it to his beloved slave. Also, if the slave seeks refuge in Allah, Allah will give him refuge and respite. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he emphasized this point when he said, "There are from the slaves of Allah people who, if they were to make an oath upon Allah, he would certainly fulfill it," as is found in Sahih al-Bukhari. My dear brothers and sisters, in many cases, the pious prefer to bear patiently the afflictions of this world and hope that by doing so, they will receive their rewards from Allah. As we see in the case of the companion Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anh, who had lost his eyesight and was told by his friends that he should ask Allah to return his sight. His reply radiallahu anh, was, "The decree of Allah is more beloved to me than my eyesight." My dear brothers and sisters, sometimes a believer will ask for something, while Allah knows that what he asks for is not the best for him. Therefore, Allah does not answer the supplication, but instead gives him something that is better than that in both this life and the hereafter. The Prophet ﷺ has said, "There is no Muslim who supplicates Allah with a supplication that does not contain anything sinful or asks for the ties of kingship to be broken, except that Allah gives him one of three things. Either he will give him what he asks for soon, or he will delay it for him for the hereafter, or he will keep a similar evil away from him." My dear brothers and sisters, to summarize and conclude, this hadith has many great lessons and benefits. From them is that to oppose one of Allah's awliya or devotees is equivalent to opposing or fighting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, this hadith demonstrates the power of the beloved slaves of Allah. Such slaves are never left on their own, but instead, they have the full support and aid of Allah, the All-Powerful. We also learned from this hadith, my dear brothers and sisters, there is nothing equal to the obligatory deeds. Therefore, we must start with them. We also learned from this hadith that obligatory acts are the most beloved to Allah, and one should perform them first and then move to the voluntary deeds and not vice versa. And we also learned from this hadith that those who perform the obligatory and voluntary deeds move closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also benefit from this hadith, my dear brothers and sisters, that Allah blesses His beloved servants with special guidance and mercy, as well as answering their dua, answering their supplications and prayers. And finally, my dear brothers and sisters, we learn from this hadith that whatever level a slave reaches, he must always keep his relationship with Allah in complete submission. When he is in need, he must turn to Allah. When he seeks refuge, he must seek refuge in Allah. Due to his close relationship with Allah, Allah will respond quickly to him under those circumstances. And with that, we conclude. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.